Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight, and welcome to Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This show tonight guides the listening audience to an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children, and the listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience. Remember, in the Learning Lab, we are learning. And I'll bring you tonight's host for the show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I bear witness that there is nothing that deserves to be served or worshipped except for one God, Allah, and that he has no partners nor associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in an excellent salute. I just decided to change up, you know, because I know that I do have some people that are not Muslim that are listening in tonight, and so that I decided not to do all of the Arabic, but just to give that. And want to say to our radio listening audience that I am Mark Shaheen. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen and Najwa Abdul-Tawab on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that airs each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And for those who may be tuning in for the first time, we have established some staple things here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in following in the footsteps of our beloved leader when he said to us, in definition is direction. So, and also we want to say correction in that. And so we've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. That is a big role and a big responsibility, not only for the mother, which is a misnomer that it's only the role and responsibility of the mother, but also the father. We also have established as a staple a thing here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that the role and responsibility of the parent is to raise and instill in them to become leaders and to establish leadership qualities first and foremost in themselves and then their family and then their community. And we say inshallah, which means God willing, that having that mindset and disposition that some world leaders could come forth as a result of that. Also, another staple item is that after Almighty God, Allah is the creator, who is the first teacher for all of humanity, that he's given the role and distinction to the mother to become the first teacher, but also the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but our baby boys, and that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. This is very, very important that she would be the one that would give the foundational knowledge and all to our baby girls and our baby boys. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, this is a learning lab, and we say that this is your learning lab. And so we do encourage you to ask questions or to make comments or just to let us know that the information you'll be receiving tonight is resonating with you, and you can do that by pressing 1. We want to say to those of you who may be listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab by way of the Internet that to be able to ask a question or make a comment, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-8255. 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. And Rashid Salam will alert me that you got your hand up. And we do ask that this, as this is a classroom style learning lab, that you bring a pen and a notebook, because there will be something that will be said, I think, that's noteworthy by Dr. Patricia Slaudine or myself. So we do ask that you do take good notes. And so before every Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we always have an overview of what took place in the last production last week. And for that, we go to a very distinguished and esteemed, the co-host and the co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Dr. Slaudine?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you, Mark? How are you doing this
evening? You know, I'm always fired up each and every Wednesday, especially when it's time for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and no exception to tonight, is I always look forward to this learning lab. I think it's such an essential learning lab in helping us in what is correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. So at this point, Dr. Slaudine, what do you have for us in the overview for last week?
Okay, here we go. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab Overview, episode number 20, November 17th, 2021. The resource, 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John C. Maxwell. We are discussing leadership qualities, one, character, and two, charisma. Maxwell declares that character is more than talk. Expanding on that idea, we describe character as being the action that you show. We started the discussion of character with Brother Mark's acronym for character, choice that has already replaced action that is cancerous to embracing respect. He explained that good moral character demands respect. Now, teaching character to children, we ask the question, how do we instill the quality of character in children? We noted that mothers start teaching character when they teach their children the difference between right and wrong. Since character is more than talk, it is action, we established that the adults in the child's life must exhibit good moral character to effectively teach character to children. According to research modeling is the number one method for teaching character. In addition to modeling, we shared other methods identified by research as being effective in teaching character. One is storytelling. We acknowledge that in the faith community, including Islam, there are many opportunities to teach character by using the stories of the life and practice and experiences of the prophets and their companions. The good and the bad experiences will serve to teach valuable lessons about caring, responsibility, and diligence, to name a few character traits. Community service is another. Engage children in charitable acts of giving and assisting others. Virtues and principles. Identify and define desired character traits that children will learn and discuss. And integration. Integrate desired character traits into the daily life and activity of the child. We also added that character is from the heart. There must be good intention and motivation to have good character. Good character corresponds with purity of intention and purity of motivation. From character, we moved on to charisma. Using the dictionary definition of charisma, we have two definitions. One, a spiritual power or personal quality that gives an individual influence or authority over many people. The second definition is the special virtue of an office, function, position, etc., that confers or is thought to confer on the person holding it an unusual ability for leadership, worthiness, or veneration, or the like. In other words, the charismatic leader can draw people to him or her because they show them hope or love and a sincere concern for them. Our prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was a charismatic leader for those reasons and more. A charismatic leader shows interest for the people's needs and concerns. How do we teach children to be charismatic? Again, as with all leadership qualities, modeling or demonstration is the best method of teaching children. They must see charismatic behavior in action. Charisma requires love for people and love for what you do for them. Studying the life of the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and his treatment of his family, companions, and his enemies provides a great opportunity for children to learn charismatic behavior. The best way to draw people to you is by modeling and living the Quran. Living the Quran is exactly how Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, lived his life. The ultimate goal for all of us is to live the Quran. In conclusion, if we want children who are caring, loving, responsible, and diligent, and possess other character traits, we must exhibit those behaviors ourselves. Children see what we do better than they hear what we say. Back to you, Mark.
Yes, I want to say alhamdulillah, and that means that the praise and thanks belong to Allah. Once again, excellent overview, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, and hopefully our radio listening audience got their pens and pads out and took some very good notes. And anything that Dr. Slaw-Dean has said, if you have any questions or comment, we do ask that you press 1. And Rashid Salam will let me know that you actually have your hand up. Just want to say before we get into tonight's production on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as you heard, Dr. Slaw-Dean said that one of the teaching tools, the best, is in terms of actually modeling and demonstrating to our children these 21 essential qualities of a leader, indispensable essential qualities of a leader. And so, you know, I early on had given the four-letter word idea in terms of how we teach, and how we learn. We learn through instructions, that's the I. The D is demonstrations. The E is through experiences. And we really learn when we assess the assessment of our experiences in life. And so this is a very valuable tool to keep in mind. And then also I want to give you another one that I use in terms of idea. Influences determine eventual action. Influences determine eventual action. The influences in terms of the social environment and the acculturation in which we bring up our children, whatever is the dominant influence, they ultimately will determine the eventual action of our children. So let's please remember that. And at some point in time, I'll give you I think another gold nugget on the word influence. But with that being said, Dr. Slaw-Dean, let's get into tonight's learning lab. And by my recollection, I think that in these 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, the next couple that we'll cover would be commitment and communication, and that'll be followed by competence and encourage, and I say we will get through all of those, but just so our radio listening audience will know as to what we have coming up next. So with that being said, what did you find that was kind of striking? And this is an accelerated learning lab as we just briefly go over some of the things that we think that may be noteworthy. But Dr. Slaw-Dean and myself, we do encourage you to purchase that book. It would be an excellent book to have and have in your library, but to actually just take it and read it. A lot of insight and wisdom that Dr. John C. Maxwell is actually sharing with us. And so we're just picking some things out and trying to get at least through 2 to 3 of these indispensable essential qualities of a leader, because that is the goal, to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities for themselves, their family, and their community. And perhaps some world leaders will emerge from that. So with that being said, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, what we have tonight for our radio listening audience when it comes to commitment.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Maxwell gives several points in terms of commitment. He has 3 points, and I'm going to share those 3 points, but just the points, not the commentary on his part.
Yes.
One, he says, commitment starts in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Two, commitment is tested by action. And three, commitment opens the door to achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Those are the 3 things that he gives us as to what we're looking for in observation for commitment.
Commitment.
True,
yes.
Commitment. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think the excellent selection in terms of where commitment actually begins, because, you know, when we look at these indispensable essential qualities of a leader, where does commitment really begin? And he says begin in the heart. Now, of course, for our radio listening audience, you know, we're not talking about the biological heart that pumps the blood all throughout the body. So heart here is a symbol of the intentions and the motivation and desire that we as human beings have. So commitment begins in the purity of our intentions and the motivations and the desire. What is it that we really, really desire? What is it that the motivation that we have, the purity of our intention? What is it that we really, really, really want to accomplish? We have to ask ourselves there that if we really want to have the desire to fulfill a dream or have a goal or objectives in life, and we really want to accomplish, fulfill them, then it begins with the heart, the state of the heart, the motivation that we have, the desire that we really have. And then later I'll share some things in terms of 4 levels in terms of commitment. And you, the radio listening audience, you can see where you are when it comes to commitment. But commitment is very, very essential for a leader. I've never seen any effective leader that was not committed, you know. And so when we look at the human soul, leader for all of humanity, Prophet Muhammad, he most certainly was committed to his mission as a prophet. As a matter of fact, when we look at all the prophets and messengers, they were committed to being obedient servants to the Lord and Creator. And when we look at leaders, contemporary leaders, we see that that is a valuable asset that they have also, is being committed. And so when we teach our children, as Dr. Slaudine so eloquently articulated in her overview, the main tool in terms of teaching commitment is, as parents, that we demonstrate that. You know, when we make a promise to our children, we're committed to keeping our promise, you know. But we also have to say, as Allah has instructed us to say in the Quran, never say what it is that you will do tomorrow or really, you know, in the future without saying, inshallah, God willing. And this brings consciousness to ourselves in terms of what it is that we're saying, and knowing that God's will prevail over everything, but also for our children to know that the only way that we won't keep that promise is that something happened that we had no control over in that regard. This is a very powerful lesson to teach our children in terms of commitment, being committed to what you say, being committed to what it is that you say that you will do. The only thing that will prevent you is that it was not in God's will for you to be able to do that. So, Dr. Salahuddin, what comments would you like to share?
Well, I wanted to go back to your comment on God's willing, God willing. In terms of making, when you make a promise and you make every, you should make every effort to keep that promise.
Yes.
Well, we have some of us, our children have gotten used to promises being broken. So when people will say God willing or inshallah, the child will automatically think, oh, this is not going to happen because she's just said inshallah. So parents, I've learned that children will say, I mean, I've heard parents share this story about children will say, oh, mom, can we do this? Or dad, can we do this? And don't say inshallah. Because they know that when you say inshallah, it's not going to happen. But I think what happens, unfortunately, that has been the case, but inshallah, that is not the case anymore with those families. But I think one of the things that when you mention inshallah, oh, God willing, we should explain to the children what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
And you explained it very well. What that means is that, you know, we don't have control over everything that happens in our lives, and we are depending on Allah. We will make every effort. That's the message that the children should get, that we will make every effort to carry this through. I will make every effort to keep this promise. I will make every effort to take you to the park. But if it doesn't happen, it's not because I didn't make the effort. It's because it wasn't in the plans. And so I think that's a message that we should really make an effort to share with our children in terms of commitment, how we showing that we are committed to what we say. And, I know when we were in the Nation of Islam, it was like your word is your bond. You know, when you put your word out there, you'll be making every effort to carry out those words because your word is your bond. I really appreciate you bringing that up in terms of that God willing. That's a very good point for us to keep in
mind.
You
know, I'm glad that you brought that up in the Nation of Islam. And just to add to that, we used to say, your word is bond, and bond is life. I give my life before my word shall fail. Actually, Imam Muhammad said that we took that too far, and he's absolutely right. You know, we said our word is bond, and bond is life, and I give my life before my word shall fail. That's a little too far and over the top, if you will, because only Allah's will, God's will, prevails, and not our will. Of course, I was kind of chuckling when you were saying that maybe, say, families that have experienced that, and we want them to know, and parents should be honest and be parents of integrity with our children, and put forth the effort, whatever it is that you promise your children, you say to them, and you promise that you will do or what, then really, truly put forth the effort to keep your word. This is very, very important when we talk about commitment. There's other commitments that we can make, but I think since this is for parenting and to reconstruct the family life, whereas it's functioning as it should be, our children should actually have faith in what it is that we say that we're going to do, not what it is that we say and then we do something differently. And the only thing that would prevent that is something that we don't have control over, you know, in that regard. And so we have to say that to our children so that they won't look at inshallah as not being of significance. This is very, very important when we're teaching our children. Know the will of God is very, very important, because nothing will go down without God's permission in that regard. And so some things we just don't have control over. We may have good intention, you know, but we don't know that whatever it is that we plan is in accordance with God's plan for us. And so we have to really stress that to our children, but we put forth every effort in the will that we have. We exercise our willpower to make that a reality. But there was some things that was unforeseen that prevented us from getting this done today. Perhaps tomorrow we'll be able to do that. So this is how we need to talk to our children, to instill that valuable principle in them. Be committed to keeping your word, the honesty, the integrity, but never forget that Almighty God has the final say-so as to what will happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Always stress that, but be committed to keep word, to do the best that you can to make that a reality. So I thought that was some good advice to give. So the next one that you have, Dr. Patricia Slodine from Dr. John C. Maxwell, is?
Hey, Mark, we do have a hand raised.
Oh, we have a hand raised. Okay. So we have a hand raised, and Dr. Slodine, you don't mind, we'll go to our caller to see what they have on their mind. So, Rashid, let's open up their mic and see if they have a question or comment.
Yes, sir. We have 706-627. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
Alaikum assalam, my dear brother, brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
Yes,
how you doing, brother Muhammad?
Alhamdulillah.
You got a question or comment for us tonight here on the panel?
Yeah, right on what you were saying, and I think when we briefly hurried up and realized that from the child from 1 to 4, maybe 5 in our scenario here in America, and in this diverse life, one with what the word of Allah, you know, to come one with the word of Allah. We have those very important years, you know, to understand that the first two is very important, that the mother and the family life images be bonded into the child's mentality and comfortability. So that by the time the child gets 2 years old, when the child naturally has to be taught what's right and what's wrong, don't do this, don't do that, watch out, watch this, and go making distinctions behind her obligation as a child, first of all, to her mother, who she loves so dear, and her father, who she knows protects and loves her so much too. So the child from that 2 to 4 years in our situation is very important that we explain to them as much as we possibly can of Allah, what he has in the book that we call the Quran, what we have to follow in the life example of Prophet Muhammad. That means we have to go back and refresh ourselves with the seerah, the hadith, and the things about Prophet Muhammad that dealing with a four-year-old. Even bring the story in about him being an orphan and how it's important that a child's victory lies in how she serve and worship her creator, Almighty God of Allah. So, because in our situation, we don't have schools yet to where everybody who is born a Muslim has the opportunity to stay in their environment and learn the world from inside of the protection of Allah instead of been cut all out of it, and the parents can't beat them so many times, and they're not controlling the whole environment. And Allah has already told us your environment will make your children other than a Muslim if you don't provide that environment. So, okay, we're not able to deal with it right now the way that we want to. But it's very important, those 1 through 5 years old, that we got to make sure we give our children a total environment that Allah, Prophet Muhammad, modesty, love, all we can in those 4 years before that we have to, in some places, let them go to public school. But by that time also, we should be like those books they come on with like back in the day when we used to come up, Dick and Jane and Jane and Dick and all like that. You know, we need to let them know about racism. We let them know in our way from the point of view of racism. You know, that why when they ask Carter why he don't look like me, why they always had the food when I go to school and they start seeing the diversity of skin color, we have to explain to them that when they're 6 and 7 years old about racism and about skin has nothing to do with anything and using the Quran and life of Prophet Muhammad and that education. Otherwise, like what you're saying, these learning lab years of our children, we have to somehow make sure that we give them building blocks of 1 through 6 years old when we have to turn them around in the world unless we are blessed to have a Claire Bahamas school around us.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad. We're going to get a little commentary on that. But thank you so much for bringing
that up in terms
of the age and everything. So please continue to listen. Press one as you go out. We'll get some commentary from Dr. Slaudine, and I'm going to make a quick remark on what it is you're saying and how important that is. Press one as you go out the queue. Dr. Slaudine, you heard Brother Muhammad that in terms of the remarks that he was making. Anything you would like to say in regards to his commentary?
Thank you, Mark. Yes, the children, the age of the children, the different period, different things that we are to be teaching them at their different age levels is definitely important, and keeping the parents and the child developing that trust that with the children at a very, very early age really helps in you making the connection with them, because as a parent we want the children to connect to Allah. We want them to know who Allah is, who God is. We want them to connect to God, and if we build that trust with them, then that's not a difficult thing to do. But if they don't trust us, if they don't see people who are committed to what they say they're going to do, and if we're not exhibiting the behaviors that we expect from our children, it's going to be hard for us to build trust with them.
Yes.
And so that's something that we
alhamdulillah. And, you know, the other message, I think, Brother Muhammad, actually, in terms of talking about the age and stage where our children are, he's speaking about what we call here in the learning lab as the formative years, whereas that we as parents can have a very profound impact and influence on our children in terms of their character, which is the first thing that we actually talked about. Very, very important to understand that these are the formative years, the first 7 years. Or the imprinting is the imprinting stage where impressions are made upon our children, and the next 7 years of our children's life is called the modeling stage. Now, all children will go through these stages, and of course, the ones that should be making the imprints or the impressions upon them should be their mother and father. But their mother and father should, as Brother Muhammad was speaking about what the Prophet Muhammad said, that it becomes their environment. Actually, it's the parenting and the environment. What environment? The social environment that has a great impact and influence upon our children in the formative years, in terms of shaping and forming their character. Children learn what they live. I'm going to say that again. Children learn what they live. It's very, very important if the environment we want to make, the home environment, the family, which is the first social unit, Islamic environment. And then also, you know, the extension in terms of community, the masajids and the Islamic centers should be an extension of what's being taught in the home life, in the family life. Very, very important indeed, because this is going to have an influence. You remember I just gave you the acronym for the word idea. Influences determine eventual action. What is the most powerful influence? And sometimes parents don't think that they can be the most powerful influence in the children's life, and they give up in that regard. But we want to give our children a chance, an opportunity in teaching them what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, and all of that. But it has to begin in the family life. So much more we could say about that. I want to thank Brother Muhammad for bringing that up. And Dr. Salahuddin, I think getting some commentary from you, but we want to keep on going as the time is continuously moving on. What do we have next, or did you want to make a comment on the last thing it was before we went to the caller, Brother Muhammad? And I want to say this here to our radio listening audience while it's on my mind. We do want to keep his wife, Sharon Muhammad, in our duas in terms of having a speedy recovery, experiencing some illness and dis-ease and all. So we ask that Allah would restore our health 100%. Let's keep her in our duas. Prayer is powerful, and so we ask all the believers to do that. Brother Muhammad and his wife are real good Muslims, and he's always seeking the help. And as Surah Al-Asr say, he always is enjoying in the mutual teaching of truth. This is very, very important for us. This is a help to all of us in this regard. So we want to keep her in our duas. So Dr. Salahuddin, you have anything that you'd like to share, or would you like to go to the next one, and we can get some commentary on that for our radio listening audience? Dr. Salahuddin?
Okay, well, before I do, I'd like to say amen to what you, to the dua that that you made for Brother Muhammad, for Sister Sharon Muhammad. And inshallah,
yes.
Allah will bless her to be to recover very soon.
Yes.
Amen. I would like to move on. I have nothing else to add.
Okay, we can move on. What do we have next here?
All right, so with moving on, we have the communication, and under communication, Maxwell gives us four basic truths, he said. He calls them simplify your message.
Oh, you know what? Excuse me, Dr. Salahuddin, let me say this real quickly because I think it would be helpful to our radio listeners. Just before we move from commitment, Dr. Maxwell said in his book, there's four categories that everybody will fit into one of those four categories. Now, I mean, if you want to press one and acknowledge that this is a category that you're in, that's fine, Dr. Salahuddin, and I would love to hear from you. But I'm going to give these four categories real quickly. He said the first category are those that are called the comp-out. You know, comp out when it comes to commitment. Now, a comp out is one that don't set any goals. And so they're not committed to anything. But the comp out has a lot of excuses. They have a lot of excuses for not accomplishing or achieving anything. And you will see those type of people. They have a lot of excuses. They don't set goals. So if you don't set goals, you got a lot of excuses for not setting any goal, then you're not going to be committed to anything. That's the cop-out. Then you have what is called the holdout. The holdout is one who fears to set a goal. Why? Because they fear that they won't be able to accomplish the goal. So fear holds them out. You know, fear is a great inhibitor. Fear is a great paralyzer, a tranquilizer, an immobilizer. It keeps you stuck and not moving forward. So if you're a holdout, and because you fear that you won't be able to accomplish your goal or endeavors, then that means that obviously you won't be committed. You'll be at a standstill. And so there are people like that, and perhaps you know people like that. Hopefully that's not you. Then you have the third one, which is a dropout. Believe it or not, a dropout actually have a goal, and of course they start toward the goal, but now they're going to be challenged. And so when the going gets tough, it's not like that old saying, the tough gets going. The dropout, because the going gets tough, and maybe they face adversity, there might be the challenge that they're challenged with, then they drop out. So they don't reach the goal. It's a commitment, but it's not a strong commitment. It's virtually a weak commitment, because when they're tested, and Almighty God, Allah says in the Quran, do you think you will be just left alone? Just saying you believe, you know, so we'll be tested. So they drop out. And then finally, the fourth one, which you don't see as much as you may see in the other three, is the all-out. The all-out is one who sets a goal, and they go all out to reach the goal. They make the necessary sacrifices and all to reach the goal. And really, the all-out becomes virtually unstoppable. They're actually focused, and they're really committed, regardless to whatever the challenges may be or obstructions that may get in their way. They'll find a way, or they'll make a way to get around those obstructions and to reach their goal. And that's why they call the all-out. They go all-out to reach the goal. So those are the four that everybody will be in one or the other. So if you like to press one, if this is resonating with you, Dr. Salahuddin, and I would love to hear from you. So back to you, Dr. Salahuddin, and I do apologize to you for, you know, interrupting you before you went to the next one, which is communication. Dr. Salahuddin?
Well, actually, Mark, I'm glad you remembered to point those characteristics out, because I think it's important that we may think about them in terms of ourselves, but if we're talking about teaching children, then those four types of commitment, if we notice this happening with our children, if you notice that a child may be reluctant to do something, then we want to work him or her out of that. Explaining, letting them do it a little bit at a time, you know, and then so they can avoid becoming that type of person or having that as an obstacle in their personality. And then, too, if we notice that our children tend to go into things and don't have any goals or have any focus, then we would want to help them to set a goal. So, you know, your child comes home and say, I'm going to join the track team. Okay, well, what's your goal? What do you want to accomplish? I want to win, blah, blah, blah. I want to do this, do that. Okay, and then let's write that down. That's a goal. Well, how do you plan to get there? How do you plan to do that?
Yes.
So we give them something to think about. So they will be people who set goals. They will be people who are not afraid to try something new and different. And they will be people who, when things get a little rough, you know, they're not ready to, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, that's not what you want to hear. So you want to help them to be committed and stick with it and set goals and work toward getting those goals. And when things get tough, explain to them things are not always going to be easy. Those tough moments are there to show you that you can do this, and then it strengthens you. That's what the toughness is all about. Nothing is always going to be easy. If it's easy, then it's no real gain in it if it's easy. So that having that lesson, if they learn how to do that, for instance, if they are taking a course that's a challenging course, and it's an elective course. It's not something they had to take, but, it's a challenge. But if it gets a little challenging, then don't let them drop out. Help them to work through that.
That's right.
Because that's going to build their character, build their strength, and it gets them ready for something even more challenging down the road.
Yes, I like that you use the word challenging, because I didn't allow my children to say something is too hard. As a word, college is always working with words. When we look at the word hard, it's having all real doubt. And doubt keeps you out, you see. So we want to say to our children, I think, better words, and I like that you use the word challenging, because this actually strengthens our children. It strengthens adults. When we meet with a challenge and we're able to overcome, or as we say in the word accomplishment that I gave in terms of actually conquering challenges, overcoming mental poverty, literally indicates success happening, meeting expectations numerous times successfully, the acronym for accomplishment. So we can see that one of the things is actually conquering challenges. So if we begin to use that language and let them know that even in success, that we have to embrace our challenges, this is how we grow strong and we build muscle, willpower, to be steadfast, stick-to-ness, and all, being committed, but we don't want to see our children not have any goals and not be committed to anything, but they have excuses. So we don't want to see our children be a cop out. And if we see that as parents, we have to work on them in helping them to understand and realize that the Creator has given you something very unique, and then we should put them in different environments so that it may trigger in them a interest, a concern that would stimulate or be a stimuli, as they used to say in science, a stimuli in terms of something that they would want to do and something they would want to accomplish. And we most certainly don't want them to have fear. It says courage is not the absence of fear, but rather it is that an acknowledgement that is something that is greater than fear, that's greater than fear. And so when you have goals, we should see our goals greater than the fear that we have. So courage is not the absence of it, but there's something that's greater than that. So that it doesn't become an inhibitor, an immobilizer, a paralyzer, a tranquilizer, where our children don't move toward that. So therefore, words of affirmation should be said to our children in terms of encouragement. This is very important, parents, and I know we're staying a little bit longer on this, but the Spirit of Allah just came over me to say more about that in terms of parenting. We have to encourage our children. We have to say to them, I believe in you. I say that to my children all the time. I believe you. I got confidence. I have faith in you. In Allah, God has faith in you. He created us, with a free will. And so to have that determination, to be a person of conviction, of real commitment and all, that we should believe that we can do it, and we should We should verbalize that to our children, that it, those that think they can, they can. Those who think they can't, they won't. So the ones that think they can and the ones that think they can't, which one is right? They're both right. But then what is the mindset? What is the disposition that we have? And this will affect us in terms of what it is that we strive for. And Allah says in the Quran that the human being can only get what they consciously strive for, that they put effort, they put work in, and soon it would be made manifest. We have to talk to our children, as Brother Muhammad was saying. Maybe it's at the age and stage that they are. You put it in a language, you're still giving them the Quran, the instructions from the final revelation, but you're giving it to them in a language and words that they can understand. You know, if you don't put in effort, then you don't get anything. No effort, no results. No positive results. Little effort,
okay.
Little results. You see,
okay.
Just like that. You give it yes.
We do have another hand raised, but before I bring them on, I'd like to make a comment myself.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
by all
means.
As I sit here and listen to you guys and knowing and understanding the importance of this learning lab, it's just dawning on me how important the commitment is to be a parent.
Yes.
This is not an easy, nothing came with instruction. So we all
mm-hmm.
need to participate in some form of learning lab, some form of program that will allow us and help us get through the pertinent things that you guys are talking about tonight. I mean, if I was a young parent right now, I mean, man, I would go out right now, I'm telling you, because I see the work that has to be done to ensure that our children become who they're supposed to be. So I just wanted to say that, and I do have a hand raised, and I think Muhammad.
Well, let's get to the caller and see what they have on their mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have Muhammad with another question or comment. Go ahead, Muhammad.
Okay.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Just want to briefly say right quick, like on where you're at right now. Ain't it wonderful that Allah, when our kids get to that age where 12 or 13 year old, they go to contemplating what you're saying, that type of the decision whether they want to go forward or they want to drop out. But remember, as Muslims, Allah has given us the key how to save the dropout. You know, when we
mm-hmm.
tell them about Adam. See, when we teach our children the Quran at an early age, they're going to learn about Adam, how he dropped out, but he repented. You know,
mm-hmm.
and he went back to the word that was giving him dignity and things that brought him back out of his dropout mentality before he accepted it. Now, we know since then, Satan has had a chance now to make us accept being of the lowest of the low. When our children hear about how we teach them about what Allah says in the Quran, about man's the human being's capability of going from the highest of high to the lowest of the low, which we can terminate and say a dropout to be a dropout of being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get back to being a human being once you become sleeping in the alley like rats, you know, eating out the trash can like animals? How do you... the same way Allah saved us. You know,
mm-hmm.
how many of us, you know, we were taught by someone with the good Muslim nature came by and told us about God will help you.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
You know, and then we taught them whatever they was willing to learn, you know, to pray
yes.
or whatever. And eventually, next thing you know, they're at the masjid or at the temple like when we started out. They come
yes,
to speak.
Alhamdulillah.
Because they felt the intellect come alive. They felt the need to be out of that decorative situation they were in and be human again.
Yes.
And they'll strive for it, you know.
Alhamdulillah.
That's why it's very important in a learning lab like you have right now, that we have to remember as we articulate these things, we have to always
yes,
give the definition of Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad.
Yes,
point very well taken. We really appreciate your commentary on that. And that's Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum. Yeah. So, Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Press one, Brother
yes,
Muhammad, as you go out to complete the process. Dr. Salahuddin, any comments from you that you would like to give? Take yourself off of mute, Dr. Salahuddin.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I was talking to myself again.
That's okay. Yes, yeah. Ma'am, go ahead.
Well, I think I don't need to comment after Brother Muhammad. He was very clear about what he had to say.
Yes.
They're definitely our job is to know our religion. So when we are trying to guide our children, we'll be able to use
mm-hmm.
the wonderful stories and the wonderful examples and the words of Allah to guide them. I think that's so important. And that's when Brother Rashid mentioned about being a parent today, I'm pretty happy that I'm not, you know, just starting out. I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but I'm happy that I'm not starting out today.
Yes.
Raising a family, because it is quite challenging. And when I started raising my children, they're all adults now and I have grandchildren, I didn't know as much as I know now. And I think knowing what I know now, it's like, whoa, it is so challenging. It's a very big responsibility. We got good and we did. But Allah was merciful. God was so merciful.
Mm-hmm.
And guiding us as we raised our children with the knowledge that we didn't know, you know.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, we were able to do it with God because we were sincere, and we knew in our hearts what we wanted. We just didn't know. We didn't have all of the information that we have now. But alhamdulillah, Allah was merciful, and he guided us, and now he has given us the opportunity to share what we know and to help others in their effort to raise the children that's going to be the children who are our leaders.
Yes.
Not just their child, not just their leader. They are our leader. So your child is, you know, is going to be my leader too.
Yes.
You know, you're doing it for you and your family. No, you're doing it for the community. So whatever
that's
we
right.
do for our children, we're doing it for the community.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I think that Rashid, are you trying to get in here? Rashid?
I'm fine. I mean, I was on mute.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you in the background there. Okay. No. Dr. Salahuddin, you are absolutely 100% on point. That was something I just mentioned at the most recent Tyleen, in which I facilitated. You know, I'm looking forward to our youth, our young adults. Pray Allah that I'll be around for many, many more years in terms of leading us, teaching us, and all. You know, that should be the desire of those of us who've been in this community for a long time, for a long period of time as pioneers and all. That should be our dua when it comes to our youth and young adults. In terms of assuming leadership, you know, this is one of the staples here of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, in that this is part of the role of responsibility in terms of having these indispensable, essential qualities of a leader. And, you know, in the last couple of minutes that we have here, just want to just say this here, very, very important that we see that these qualities identifiable in the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, in Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and other very highly regarded leaders, effective leaders, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, we can see these indispensable qualities are part of them. Dr. Salahuddin, we got about a minute and a half here, and I want to split that time with you in terms of the radio listening audience. We didn't get as far as we would like to have, but Allah is the best knower here, and we allow Allah to guide us here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Parting remarks, Dr. Salahuddin.
Yeah, 45 seconds.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Mark. We just want to remind our parents that Allah is constantly there to protect us and guide us, and all we have to do is make an effort, and we will be able to be the best parents that we can be.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said, Dr. Patricia Saldane. Want to thank you always for each and every Wednesday sharing your insight and wisdom with us. And we look forward to your return coming in the last month in the Gregorian calendar of December and all. I want to say to our radio listening audience that, Najwa Abdul-Tawab will be with us next Wednesday, inshallah, as that would be her last production as co-host on the first Wednesday and all, so we ask that you do tune in. And before we get to the MGM Roundtable, in which Dr. Patricia Saldane will be a part of, I want to just say that usually on Thursday nights here on IWDM Radio, the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, would be aired. But in lieu of the fact that it is a national holiday tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving, and as Muslims, we don't have a problem with the Gregorian calendar acknowledging the day of Thanksgiving, even though every day is the day of Thanksgiving for us, we will not be broadcasting. That is, Quran Shakir and myself will not air the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. However, we'll be coming back on December the 2nd, and some good news is that one of our very scholarly, very learned imams, Imam Fahim Shuaib, a longtime resident imam of Masjid Worth Deen there in Oakland, California, has agreed to be our special guest facilitator when we return back on IWDM Radio on December the 2nd, so you don't want to miss that. And he will be offering commentary on partnership. It's something that most recently the Quran and I have completed here on the outstanding publication, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect, and using an acronym in terms of Ripple, that first P standing for partnership. So you don't want to miss that. And so as we transition here to the MGM Roundtable, as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As each and every Wednesday night, I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, that is the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight here on the MGM Roundtable, as with Allah's help, I've been able to assemble a very distinguished, esteemed panel tonight, and we'll be taking on the topic in question form. What is the most thankful thing since you have become a conscious Muslim? What is the most thankful thing that you can bring to mind since you have become a conscious Muslim? And so tonight, inshallah, God willing, and we'll have a roll call here in a minute, I have invited two very well-known sisters in our community. Have one, a premier educator, Dr. Patricia Saldane, you just heard, as the co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, will be joining us tonight here at the round table. Also, Quran Shakir, another one of our premier educators in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, longtime educator of the Muhammad schools there in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, and also the co-host and co-facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, heard each and every Thursday. Have been invited and hopefully is there. And also, we have Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, one of our very learned Imams in Association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and the author of The Man Behind the Men, outstanding publication, longtime resident Imam Al Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the very distinguished host of the longest production here that we have on IWDM Radio, Words Make People, is joining us. And last but not least, we have Dr. Jamal Rashid, outstanding author that Imam W.D. Muhammad has authorized his publications and say it should be in every home, every Muslim or God-conscious person's in terms of substantive information that he's provided over the years. And he's also the host, along with Henry Haseeb, each and every Thursday on our sister station, American Muslim 360 Radio, Solutions for Critical Issues. He will be joining us. I did say last but not least, but I can't forget about my friend. I call him Sheikh Rashid Salam Abi. The brother is loaded with a lot of great information, and he's a very distinguished engineer each and every Wednesday here, but now also the host, along with Imam Abdul Shahid, and The Science of Your Health and You, each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio. Want to thank all of you and want to extend the greetings of peace. And please press 1 if you haven't so Rashid can open up your mic. Extend the greetings of peace to all of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, I just heard your voice.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, this is Karan Shakir. And who else do we have? Dr. Rashid, are you there? Imam Sayer,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Dr. Jamal Rashid and Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, are you there?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you. And I think Imam Mikhail Sayer, are you there?
Yeah, he hasn't pushed
well,
yet. Press 1. Yeah, he hasn't pressed.
If you dare, press 1. You see, these are mostly hosts here on IWDM Radio, so hopefully he'll be joining us, and hopefully he didn't forget, inshallah. But we'll move on here. I want to make some opening comments here, and of course, you know, at this time in terms of Thanksgiving, this is something that all of us can actually acknowledge is time that we can be with our family and friends and maybe community members in terms of how we acknowledge that. I want to also say that for us, each and every day is a day of Thanksgiving. We give thanks to Allah each and every day. You know, there's no people on earth that's more conscious of giving thanks each and every day in our du'as and making the five daily salats and all of that. And we're thanking Allah when we wake up each and every day. We don't take anything for granted. And, of course, our book, Allah asked the question to keep us conscious, which are your favorites? Which of your favors would you deny? And, of course, the answer is that we don't deny any of the favors that Allah has given to us. And so we're always trying to be conscious of the favors, the blessing that Allah has given to us. So I thought it would be befitting, because on the Gregorian calendar, there's a day that's set aside, the last Thursday in the month of November, that is called Thanksgiving. And thank God that it is on there, because all people don't have that mindset, that, you know, and so it brings a consciousness to them that they should be giving thanks to a higher power, the creator of all of us. And so it is it's an excellent time to acknowledge that together with family and friends and for us community members. And so Allah put it on my heart to utilize this MGM roundtable, the Muslim Global Message roundtable tonight, to have a topic in question form. What is it that is that you're most thankful for since becoming a conscious Muslim? And I thought about the words, so I just want to just say conscious Muslim, but if you're a Christian that's listening, since you've become a conscious Christian, and so I think our panelists understand when you say become a conscious Muslim, because for us, you will take the Shahada tain, you will take that declaration that you bear witness that there is nothing that deserves to be served nor worship except for one God alone, Allah the Most High, no partners, no associates, as he la sharika lahu, and that you bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed his servant and messenger. So with that being said, I want to say always ladies first, and so I want to make sure that in this panel discussions, I always conduct panel discussions in terms of being fair and just in all our dealings. As Allah instructed us in the Quran, everybody will have the same amount of time. If you choose to use all of it, fine, alhamdulillah. If you choose not to, and so if when you hear me say alhamdulillah, that's your cue that your time is up. So we're going to take 3 to 4 minutes for this question that will be the topic. And we will go to you first, Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean, and respond to what is the thing that you're most thankful for since becoming a conscious Muslim? So you have 3 to 4 minutes to express what is that you're most thankful for. Dr. Salahuddin, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Mark. Thank you for inviting me to the MGM Roundtable. This is my first experience on the Roundtable. The thing that I'm most thankful for, that's a hard question, because when I heard that question, I thought, well, so many things. How do I express that? So I'm going to take a stab at this, and I guess it's good. I'm not excited about going first, but I guess it's good so I can just sit back and enjoy everybody else's comments. how I would respond to that question is that since becoming a conscious Muslim, the thing that I'm most thankful for would be the people that Allah has placed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even before I became a conscious Muslim, Allah was taking care of me and putting things and putting people and doing things for me. I know that. But now that I'm conscious of it, I can see that Allah has placed people in my life. These people have, from my children to just all of the people in my life, as a conscious Muslim, I can see that they benefited. I've learned so many things. I've learned so much from the interaction that I've had with the people that Allah has placed in my life. I've learned things that I need to learn to grow. Patience, I've learned humility, I've learned love. I mean, some of the educators, the leaders that of the Clan Muhammad schools that I work with, I've learned commitment. I've learned the love for what you do and willing to make the sacrifices to do it. I see that. My children, I've learned so much from them, and I see the blessings that came with them. So it's just so much.
Yes.
That the gifts are so many. Even the challenges, you know, because there are people, a lot put in your life that are challenging people too, and you learn from them as well. You learn a lot. In fact, sometimes you learn more from them than you learn from other people. So this is what I think that's how I respond to that, that it's the people.
Yes.
That Allah placed in my life.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So thank you so much, Dr. Patricia Slodin, for your response to that question. And so now we're going, and I want to say to our radio listening audience that this is the topic of night. It's in question form, and so that question is for you. So you'll have an opportunity to press one and to share what it is that the most thing that you're most thankful for since you have become a conscious Muslim. That's the question tonight. So now we go to our very distinguished and esteemed, the co-host and the co-facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Quran Shakir. That question is for you, Quran, and welcome to the MG Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam again, and thank you so very much for having me this evening and for that question. So I would like to say that, alhamdulillah, I was born and raised Muslim, and I am so grateful that Islam is in my life. And so several things happened for me as I was growing up Muslim, and one thing is that I was at the age of 12, I did not want to be a Muslim just because my parents were Muslim. And so I went on this quest and this search to understand religions, and I started studying all of the religions and made a conscious decision that Islam was the way for me. And so what I'm grateful for, though, is that Allah put it on my heart and in my eyesight and in my mind to appreciate all of the religions that He has given us. And such that when Imam W.D. Muhammad became the leader of our community, because I was raised in the Nation of Islam, and at the transition time when the Imam became the leader, I was still a preteen teen. And so it was a wonderful time for me now to practice this thing that I learned, which was appreciation for all religions. And the Imam made it easy for us to understand interfaith and to appreciate that. And I'm grateful to have had him in our life at that time to guide us to the Quran and direct us to be able to follow the Quran. And so then as I began to practice Islam and learn the Quran and make it a part of my daily life and practices, then I aged and grew up from being just a child Muslim to an adult Muslim to a parent Muslim and now a grandparent Muslim. And so that gratitude continues with me because I've been able to carry that same thread of experiences to appreciate all of the religions that Allah has given us and to appreciate all the people. So I'm saying all of that to say that Allah has made it easy for me to appreciate humanity. And I'm grateful for that because I know so many people who get stuck and believe that my way is the only way and you've got to follow this and this only, or that my thinking, my thoughts is it. And we're not open. And so I'm grateful. I think Allah has made me to be an open being to be able to see and understand and appreciate many. And most importantly, is that appreciation for our young people. And Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune said, we have a powerful potential in our youth. and we must have the courage to change old ideas and practices so that we may direct their power towards good ends. And so with all that I have been able to appreciate that Allah has given us, that gratitude has opened me up to make sure that the young that come behind me, inshallah, are also open and appreciative for what Allah has given us. And that way, the leadership that we get from our young people, I think, will be different. And so he has made it easy for me to be an advocate for our young and to be able to push them to be those ready to make a difference. So direct their power towards good ends, as Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune said. So that is what I'm grateful for, just being here and able to live this life as Allah has given it to us with an open mind and appreciative for the religious life that he has given us and the people that he has given us.
Alhamdulillah. Boy, you're right on the point. I said alhamdulillah. Excellent, excellent response to that. Thank you so much, Quran Shakir. I want to say to our radio listeners, audience, get ready because you'll have your opportunity too. And of course, I never run out of questions, so I do have other questions for our panelists on this this question topic. So next is going to be Rashid Salam. That question to you, my good brother and friend. What is it that you're most thankful for since becoming a conscious Muslim? Rashid, 3 to 4 minutes.
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
When you told me about this as your engineer, I began to think on it 2 or 3 days ago. And I had you made me go back and dig deep like Sister Karan just did. On the opportunity, the blessing that I had, you know, coming into this way of life. And it was just two things that I have to say. And one is patience and gratitude. When you think about myself, when I think about myself and how and what I was doing during the time before I had the opportunity to be, for allowed to open my heart to receive this blessing, you know, instant gratification. Oh, man, I had to have it right now. This world had me going. I found myself in corporate America and in management, bank managers, and hey, I wanted everything everybody else had. And this Western influence had an effect on me that I tried to uphold and promote. But upon accepting this way of life, that patience and persevering, I remember one thing that was told to me by a deacon in the church when I was growing up. He said, "Young man, what is the definition of patience?" And I was befuddled. I said, "I don't know." He said, "Let me tell you, hard trials and tribulations." And I didn't understand what he was saying. But as I became a Muslim, I began to realize that trials and tribulations that go into practicing this way of life, being exposed to many different things. And the most important thing is I had to change. And so having patience with people who I thought didn't know or wasn't acting right, and I was blaming them for this and blaming them for that. But at the same time, I didn't look in the mirror and see myself. But the transition and the education that was provided by us, by Quran and our Prophet, peace be upon him. And before I accepted Islam, I came in kind of late. But I remember one paper that I read one day. It said, "Let's remake the world." And that was the most profound thing that I ever heard. You know, and being a rebel and being the Black Catholic Party, that was right up my alley. Oh, yeah, it's what I'm going to do. But coming into this way of life, I had to understand what I had to do for myself, things that I had to change within myself, and not blame Europeans or not blame other people for the shortcomings and the racism and all the things that took place. So that patience was truly one of the most important things that I have acquired, alhamdulillah, inshallah, you know, that I've been blessed to be more patient with people, more patient with my family, more patient with friends. And then so one of the forces in life that I always talked about was a driving force and a restraining force. You know, and that driving force, you know, it was pushing me towards some action that I had to change. I had to refrain from some of the things that I used to do. So that I had to harness this drive in me to not want to be or not get what I wanted when I wanted it. And Allah made it possible that I didn't get what I want either, you know, without going through something. So
yeah.
It was so important that that patience came into my life. And then the thing that really, I think, has settled me down has been the gratefulness and the gratitude to understanding the universal order thing, the air we breathe, the friends I've been able to acquire, the little things in life, you know, the fact that, you know, but by the grace of God, there go I. So that seeing other people go through what they go through, watching other people who not as fortunate as I am or have been, and to be patient with that person to understand they don't even know they don't know. And I've been blessed to have an opportunity to learn, to know, and to see in a completely different way. So I am so grateful for my ability to receive information. I let nothing interfere with my ability to reason or perceive. And, you know, you and I talk all the time. You know, we always talk about this, that, and the other. But the most important thing, I have been patient enough to listen, patient enough to take in what I hear, and then study it and make sure I apply it in the manner in which the Quran and our prophet has shown us. And patience, when I look at our prophet, peace be upon him, you talking about patience, to be like that, that's an example for us.
I'm
requires a lot of patience. And you have to be grateful just to even think about what it is that Allah has in store for us. So with that,
thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Excellent. Thank you for sharing with us. And last but not least, Dr. Jamal Rashid, the same question for you. What is it that you can say has been the thing that you're most thankful for since becoming a conscious Muslim? You got 3 to 4 minutes, Dr. Jamal, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, well, they come assalam. Yes, quickly, and piggybacking off just what you know, that's and what the sisters have said before.
Yeah, you're going in and out, Dr. Jamal. Get a little closer to your mic. You're going in and out.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, can you elevate your voice just a little bit more, if you would, please. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to get off the speaker. Is that
okay,
better?
Okay, there you go. That's better.
Okay, I was saying, and I'm trying to piggyback off what Brother Rashid and the sister just said. You know, that's not an easy question to answer, and so there's a lot to it. But I kind of reflected on Man in the Mirror that was, you know, well known by actually my homeboy, Michael Jackson, from Gary. I had to look at the experiences that I have been put into through Allah's will, K through 12, you know, being brought up in a basically a good-hearted Christian family, the guidance towards immorality was not there. So that was a blessing in itself. I have to back and say that how Allah has bestowed his grace and mercy, first of all, was there all along. And I didn't really become more conscious of all of the mercies and grace that Allah was bestowing beside in conjunction with all the other attributes known and unknown that Allah was instituting in my life at the time and places. Nothing happened without a meaning. And so going through K through 12, being in an all African American social and cultural environment, my eighth grade teacher inspired me towards history. And from that, a next door neighbor went to Lincoln University in your home state, Missouri, in which I took up social science. So I'm constantly looking at the things that was preparing me for where I am today as a social scientist. And at Lincoln University, I was placed in a profound historian, Dr. Green, who was also a comrade of Dr. John Hope Franklin, who was a very well-known historian in our history, along with Dr. Cox, who was a renowned sociologist in the world. And he was well known. So these mentors, I should say, were there. After I finished completing my undergrad in 72, Allah blessed me unknowingly to relocate to Chicago. And that's where I was closely located towards the Muslim Southside Bakery, and as well as the dining area, salon restaurant, and a sandwich shop, in which I was guided towards Muhammad Speaks, or I think it was still called Muhammad Speaks in 72, before the name changes came about. But the centerfold
is Muhammad Speaks in
72. Attractive. Which I didn't know at the time that was the words of Imam Dibdi Muhammad Rahim Allah. And at that time, I also was in place at Hyde Park High School, which was 10 blocks north of 73rd and Stoney. And since the close proximity, this is where Imam Nasser Ahmed and Imam Qasim Ahmed came into my environment. And they became my mentors when I first began to learn various things about the community. And from there, constantly feeding on my sociological background, the circular world, and then dining on Imam Dibdi Muhammad's menu, I was blessed to, in conjunction with both areas, to be more enlightened, to be able to be a learned instructor. And I learned through 41 years of actual teaching in the classroom that the most important thing is, in order to be able to teach, is to learn how to reach.
Alhamdulillah.
Many people fail to teach, and no matter what capacity they are in their life, they fail as parents and as comrades or co-hosts or co-workers or whatever because of the inabilities to reach.
Alhamdulillah.
To share information.
Yes. Dr. Jamal,
so,
I want to, stop you there because you're right, the time that I've given to everyone. But in the round robin, in the round robin, the next question that I'm going
to be a host of a live TV show for 13 years on the Gary Cable. And that helped prepare me for who I am today as far as communicating from a media perspective to the public.
Alhamdulillah. Dr. Jamal, I don't think you can hear me.
Amaya Newman. This is Zakiya Newman from New Life Productions, who being influenced by
Dr. Jamal.
Which enabled me to publish my first
book. I don't think he can hear me.
Followed by
I'm hoping that.
And 1 year later, Universal Happiness in 1993 and 94, respectively.
Yes,
and
Dr. Jamal.
On October 2nd, 2005, publicly endorsed my article that I've been writing in the Muslim Journal as a mentor, as you
he
mentioned.
He took himself off a speaker, so he can't hear.
So I want to say, but it's been one of my most blessed.
Dr. Jamal.
In the Muslim is just looking at how I have experienced, what I have experienced, and everything has been for a profound reason, and to be able to recognize those reasons and bring it into a positive perspective and be able to share as much as I possibly can is probably been one of my most gratefulness of all the whole programs I have just mentioned.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Dr. Jamal. Assalamu alaikum. Dr. Jamal?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I was trying to get you to stop about 2 minutes ago and all. So,
you know, I'm going to ask
another question, and I'm going to give all of the panelists this question, and I'm going to use a round-robin approach. So this time you'll be first, and the one that was first will be last in terms of responding to the question. But in the meantime, we're going to go and see if we have any callers in the queue. Those who may have tuned in, you're listening to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and we have assembled a panel, a very distinguished panel, consisting of Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean, Quran Shakir, I want to say Dr. Jamal Rashid, and also Rashid Salam, and Imam Mikhail. So if you're out there, please press 1 and make yourself known. But to our radio listening audience, we encourage you to press 1 if you'd like to answer that question. While you're deciding that, let me ask the question to the panelists so they can begin to think about that. In retrospect, as you look at what it is that you're most thankful for since you have become a conscious Muslim, how have that motivated you in your life in terms of what it is that you are doing or have done or see yourself doing in terms of contributing not only to just the Muslim community but humanity at large? I know that's a big question, but what is it that you, in terms of what is it you're most thankful for, how have that motivated you in terms of what it is you have done, you are doing, or intend to do as a contribution to the Muslim community, but humanity at large? That is the question, and that question will first go to Dr. Jamal Rashid, and then it'll go to you, Rashid Salam, and then it'll go to you, Quran Shakir, and last but not least this time, I just said to Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean. Before we do that, Rashid Salam said we have somebody in the queue, and if you are going to respond, we'll give you 2 minutes. 2 minutes. When you hear me say Alhamdulillah, that's your cue. You understand? You don't have to stop in the middle of the sentence, complete your thought, but we want to give everybody opportunity to respond to this question topic. So, Rashid, let's go to the lines to see what I call or have on their mind and how they want to respond to tonight's topic here on the MGM Roundtable. Rashid?
I believe we have Brother Muhammad on, 706-627. Is this Muhammad?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. 2 minutes, Brother Muhammad, to respond, if you would, please, to the question.
Yes.
That we have tonight is the topic. Welcome.
Yes, sir. All right. I thank Allah, first of all, for blessing me of his existence. I thank Allah for blessing me to know the enemy of this blessing he has given me of knowing that he is God, and that's Satan, and to keep my eye on him like he has instructed me to. I thank Allah that he has given us a life that we lost, but we are on our way back of regaining by following the instructions of saving our own soul first. I thank Allah that many, many people in the world is going to be able to save their own soul too by watching us use the word of Almighty God, Allah, the creator of all the world, and what he gives us to teach them, if they want to hear it, that they will learn how to save their life too. And inshallah, by Allah's permission, they may be blessed to also be what I'm so thankful for being his servant, you know. And I thank Allah that we are only going to be in this transitional world until he determines when we have used our free will to make the right choice, which he already given us a advantage by giving us a natural inclination to obey him. So the other thing that I thank him for is that I am so thankful that I am not letting Shaitan intimidate me being comfortable at being a servant of the Creator. There's nothing better. And then to know that just by me being his servant,
I'm here to serve him and serve the people who he has designated, because he already knows. He already knows who, inshallah, every one of us of who are his servants, who we are going to reach and who we are not going to reach, and he is the only one who knows that. But he wants to see how we make sure, like Imam Muhammad told us, and I thank Allah for him very much, that our job is to make sure every human being know the truth, and then let them make their own choice, because that's what we are down here for, and see if Shaitan can make us not be his servant or we his servant. So I thank Allah for all the things that are very important. And in closing, I thank Allah very much that I know within my creation and all of our creation, we are one and the same. But you have to make a choice. And you have to understand that you cannot live your body.
Amen. Amen.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, for sharing with us in terms of that what it is that you're most thankful for since becoming a conscious Muslim. Thank you so much for that contribution. Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Press one. Press one as you go out, Brother Muhammad. Yes, you have another caller?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, we do.
Let's
we
press
have
one, Muhammad, as you go out to keep his studio clear. Yeah, go ahead, Rashid. Who do we have up next?
We have Hometown, 314-330. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Please introduce yourself and where are you calling from?
This is Medina Wakil, and I'm calling from Hometown, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You heard the question tonight. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and I thank you for this topic and all of your guests on the program tonight. I pray Allah continue to bless you all. Excellent topic. I am so grateful. I'm just, first of all, so grateful to be here, to be alive. I thank Allah. I'm so grateful that Allah has blessed us with his holy book, with his revelation, for us to use to grow us and to help develop us. And also, I'm grateful, I'm so grateful for the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, an example for the world. And I would be remiss if I didn't say I'm grateful for my parents. My parents reared 7 beautiful daughters in a morally upright environment. And they made all kinds of sacrifices for us, but they never, ever excluded religion in our lives. Even though we were reared as Christians, we were reared morally upright. And I thank Allah for that, because it made me and also my siblings the people we are today. And in closing, I am so grateful, so, so grateful to Allah for the people in our lives, the wonderful people in our lives that help us through and support us and love us, unconditionally love us. And only Allah can put that love in their heart. Only Allah can. So I'm grateful for many, many things. I can probably go on all night.
I'm
going to
stop there. I'm going to say that this is Dr. Medina Wakil. She's very modest, but and we are very thankful and grateful for her here in the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the great contribution that she makes here, but also nationally. And also we're thankful and grateful that you're tuning in to IWDM Radio tonight, and that your willingness to share with our national audience in terms of what it is that you're most thankful for since you have become a conscious Muslim. And I know you could go on and on, but thank you so much, Dr. Medina Wakil, for calling in and sharing, and continue to listen here. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. And Rashid, if we don't have any other callers in the queue, I want to get back to our panelists here. The question that I asked, very important, what have you done, what has motivated you since realizing as a conscious Muslim, what is it that you've done in the past or presently doing or intend to do in terms of as a contribution to the Muslim community and humanity at large? In this round-robin approach, this time you'll have 2 to 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. When you hear me say alhamdulillah, please listen up. That means your time is up. You don't have to stop in the middle of the sentence, complete your thought, but I want to give everybody the same time in terms of being fair and just to everyone. So this time we'll start with you, Dr. Jamal Rashid. You have 2 to 3 minutes to respond to that. If when you hear me say alhamdulillah, that's your cue that you need to finish your thought, and then we'll move on to the next panelist. So, Dr. Jamal?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Yeah, you stay right there.
Okay,
you're good.
Okay, because I will apologize. When
no,
I
that's okay, because I know you put yourself, off, and, you probably couldn't hear me. Yeah,
right,
so you got two to three minutes to respond to this question, Dr. Jamal.
Yes, sir. Quickly, I would say things that I am consciously taking aware of today is every opportunity that the social media's platform give me, meaning that if it's just texting or speaking verbally on whatever platform I can get the opportunity to respond, if it's a word, understand it, profound ramifications of words, how each and every word, and I'm talking about verbally here, how it can impact a listener, whoever, and also take advantage of the skills I have as both a writer and as a lecturer. I'd like to take advantage. But in conjunction back to the original question, one of the most things I'm most grateful for is the ability to recognize the jinn that is our biggest contender. And I always say that our emotions is our biggest contender. And briefly, we as humans have the abilities to adopt. We are adopters. And we can adopt, understand the dualities of things. We can adopt either positive or negative words. And so if we go to our emotions, we also have the ability to adopt jealousy, envy, arrogance, and et cetera. Either way, positive, we can use it as our best friend, or we can succumb and be duped and allow our negative emotions to take the best of us. And so then we lose. So that's my comment, my two.
Alhamdulillah. So thank you so much, Dr. Jamal, for responding to that question in terms of how it has motivated you to do what it is that you have been doing for years, and want to just say how much I appreciate your contributions, as our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, has acknowledged your great work before his transitioning. And so now we'll move to you, Rashid Salam. How have this motivated you in terms of the work that you've done before, now, or you intend to do? How has this served as a motivation for you? You got 2 to 3 minutes, Rashid, to respond.
It won't take me long. I live by the motto, which I have in my bio, service is the rent I pay for my time here on earth. Everything I've done, everything that I'm doing, everything I would like to do is based in that foundation of serving mankind. I just love it. You know, I love working with children. I love helping. I love doing the things that I do. Things that I've done in the past, I didn't even really know what they were, but it was always serving and helping and providing a better way, as Dr. Rashid said, Dr. Jamal said, helping, having a platform to have an impact or influence someone else. That service is just basically what constitutes my being, and I pray all the time to make sure that I keep that focus and stay in line with that path. And when I pass the baton, I hope it's to someone else who wants to serve as well. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said. And I remember that great quote from the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali when he was on tour. Service is the rent that I pay for my room here on earth. And I think that's very – so thank you so much for sharing that with us. And now we move to our beloved sister, Quran Shakir. How has this motivated you in terms of what it is that you've done before in the past, doing now, and intend to do in terms of a contribution or service to the Muslim community and humanity at large? I know it's a big question. You got 2 or 3 minutes to respond to that, Quran.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to say, I think one of the biggest things that I have intentionally done is, let me just say, I got my name, Quran, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And, you know, when I'm studying religion and all of that, as I came to understand the meaning of the name, I'm like, whoa, this is such a powerful name. And so I told my mother, I said, I don't want this name because it's sacrilegious to me to have such a name. And it's so powerful. And she said, well, I didn't name you, so you have to ask the person that named you if you can change your name. And so I wrote a letter to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and told him the meaning of the name and how powerful it was and how I thought it was sacrilegious to have the name and please allow me to change my name. And the letter that I received back, it was such a short letter. It said simply, consider it your challenge to live up to the name. And so it's like, okay, no, you don't get to change your name. So I'm 12 years old, and now I began this study of Quran before the imam even told us to, because I wanted to live up to the name. And so this is how I have dedicated my life, is to understanding the Quran in its practical application. And in understanding Quran in its practical application, sharing the joy of Quran with others. And in sharing the joy of the Quran with others, then I have done that. I just told my daughter today that, because I was helping my grandson with the math, and she said, oh, you know math too? Because I was an English teacher for almost 30 years. And I said, yeah, I know math too. I said, when I went away to school, I had a choice to be a doctor or a journalist. And I said, and at that time, the world didn't understand Muslims. So I chose journalism to be able to do dawah and propagate using the pen. And so I told her, I said, I used to write for Black Enterprise Magazine, for Essence Magazine, and Muslim Journal. I wrote for all these publications, sharing the joy of Quran and helping people to understand our religion. And so I think that's what I've done. So even in school, as an educator, when I would teach children, I would teach them from the Quran first. Everything that I did was from Quran. What does Allah say to us? And let that be the source and the motivator for everything I do. So I think understanding what Allah has guided me to do, what I'm grateful for, is that book that he has given us and the opportunity to understand humanity and his religious prescription, and then to be able to share it. So I think that's what I would say I've done with it, is to use the power of the pen and my voice.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Excellent. Thank you so much, Quran. Well, I tell you, packed a lot in that 3 minutes there. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much. And then last but not least this time, so she won't feel like she was put on the spot first, she's last this time, my dear sister, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, how have this motivated you in terms of what it is that you've done in the past, presently doing, or intend to do as service to Muslim community, but also humanity at large? Dr. Slaw-Dean?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Mark. What I have done, what has motivated me in my life, even when I was a teacher, this is hard to get out, but It's so much to say that it's hard to put it in the way I want to say it. So I'm going to do my best. What I did was, as a student of Imam Warfi Muhammad, listening to his lectures and paying attention to what he said, I think what stuck with me is the desire to get to know other people, the desire to work to get to know myself, and the desire to help students to know themselves and other people. Mm-hmm. And so I taught children, although I teach in English, one of the thing that motivated me and drove my class was their ability to get to know who they are. It was important for them to have their own identity, to know that, who they are, and to get to know and appreciate other people. So I would do activities with them that would push that idea with them. Now that I'm no longer teaching, education is still a very important part of what I do and what I think is important to do, and that is to teach children to love Allah and to worship Him in the best manner. I think if we could teach children to do that, they will have a very successful life, because that's what Allah wants us to do. He wants us. He created us to worship Him and to worship Him alone. So I think my focus now is to help children to get there. And I don't have direct contact with children in a whole as in a classroom, but I work with other educators who want to do that same thing. So we work together to do that. And then as a community at large, I work with other faith group members of the community, of my community, in creating an environment that's just and equitable in our community. And that, too, is something that's a part of our what we're supposed to be doing as Muslims. We were supposed to promote justice. So that's what I do with the community at large.
Alhamdulillah. That's so excellent. You know, that last statement that you made, that coincides with what our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, said to us, that should be the goal and objective in terms of community life, that collectively we should be striving to establish and construct a society that is just and equitable, you know, ethical, just an ethical society for all human beings. And so when you said that, it just reminded me that Imam Muhammad say that is the goal and objective for us as a Muslim community, as a conscious Muslim community, in regards to obligation and responsibility. So what I'm going to do, I know we had two callers that called in. I want to give them at least a minute and a half or so, Brother Muhammad and Dr. Medina, if you choose to respond to how that has motivated you to do what it is you have done in terms of contribution or maybe presently doing, or what it is that you intend to do. If you'd like to share with us, please, if you're in the queue and you press 1 and you didn't go out, press 1, come back in, let Rashid know that you have something that you'd like to say, and then we're going to close out with our panelists in terms of giving concluding remarks on the topic itself. And so they'll have a minute and a half to do that in terms of their closing remarks. So, Rashid, if Brother Muhammad has something that he wants to say in terms of what has motivated him, Dr. Medina, The mic is open to you at this time. So, Rashid? Did either one come back in?
Yeah, I was on Eagle. I'm in.
Okay, Brother Muhammad, you got a minute to minute and a half. In terms of the question is, how have this motivated you to do what it is you have done or presently doing or intend to do as a contribution in terms of what it is that you're most thankful for since becoming a conscious Muslim? What is it that you have done, presently doing, or intend to do in terms of contribution for the Muslim community and humanity at large? A minute to a minute and a half, when you hear me say Alhamdulillah, you have to wind it up. Muhammad?
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I thank Allah that I came looking for Allah, even in the Nation of Islam. I got in the Nation of Islam. I was attracted by many things of what he was doing for our people, but I was mainly interested in finding God. That's who I was looking for. I thank Allah for accepting my searching for him. Number two, I thank Allah that I've been motivated to want to be Khalifa. You know, I want to be what I was created to be, Khalifa. I also want my brothers and sisters, since I'm obligated to want for myself what I want for them, I also want to use the rest of my life, if I'm on this earth, to encourage us to realize that this responsibility is that of the Khalifa. Allah has told us the different process of the when you fall all the way down to where we was, treated like animals, what's your step procedure to go about getting back to being a Khalifa and try to give the whole world back to one soul, one community, et cetera, whatever level Allah has already prescribed for us to reach. You know, I also want to encourage on whatever level I'm on doing my service to Allah that to be a stimulant, to remind all of us that this job is for us to do. We don't want to burden some other human being with being a Muslim. Allah said he's not going to burden us and not put no burden on us. I don't think we should put the burden on someone else to do our job. If we do our job, they'll be able to put their own freedom, free will, to do the same that we've done. We have to be that model. We have to be that pattern. And we cannot do it if we're all mixed in, put time to put and share the responsibility of what Allah. We're special people. He made us Muslim. You know, and he told us that you have to reach a certain intention in your heart to bring into his service. So I just want to spend the rest of my life seeing us become together, seeing the human family, first the Muslims, become a community. And then all of us become a community of people.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad. Very well said. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for participating. Really appreciate you. And please continue to listen. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out, Brother Muhammad. And when you mute it, press 1 so you'll go off the studio. And Dr. Medina, if you're still there listening, you have an opportunity. You want to press 1. And share with the radio listeners and our panelists in terms of how Allah has motivated you in terms of contribution you made before in the past, currently doing or intend to do. Dr. Medina?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes.
And thank you again for this opportunity. And I want to thank your guests again as well. So I'm just, you know, just thinking about that question, it just almost brings me to tears, because there is so much goodness in this world, and oftentimes we focus too much on the evil in this world, but there's so much goodness in this world, and Allah has blessed. I know me personally, Allah has blessed me to recognize that there is a service that I need to provide to humanity, that the only way we can come to Allah, as we all know, is this, as his slave servant. But with that being said, we have to serve humanity. We have to provide help for those that need our help. That is my contribution, to provide help for those that need my help. Of course, we can't help everyone, but we can do our share in making this world a better place for ourselves, our families, our community, and the world. And if that would be my legacy to be here, is that I've made sufficient contributions to this society, to humanity, to make it a better place for everyone on earth. And particularly, I heard Karan talk about the youth, and I'm so glad that she mentioned that, particularly the youth who are often forgotten sometimes. Mm-hmm. They're a forgotten group sometimes. But I would really, really want to focus, and I hope that others will focus on just providing services that are needed, providing that significant amount of contributions to the society, to humanity, in order to make it a better place, this world a better place for others. Okay.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Very well said, Dr. Medina Waikil. Most certainly we appreciate you sharing with us in terms of your motivation, things that you've done in the past, you're currently doing, even as an educator, and what it is that you would love to do and encouraging others. Thank you so much. We do appreciate that. Press 1, Dr. Medina, as you're muted, to go out the queue. And so now we're back to our panelists as we get ready to wind down here. And so I want to give each one of you a minute and a half, just say 2 minutes, in terms of anything that you would like to leave the radio listening audience with in regards to this question topic that I posed to you, and maybe some inspiration to those who are listening. So in this round-robin approach, I think Rashid Salam, you would be the first one to give to the radio listening audience your concluding remarks on this topic. Rashid Salam, are you there? Take yourself off of mute.
Yeah, there you go. I'm here. Oh, boy, I tell you, what a beautiful night, Mark. I just want to thank you for the opportunity. And I just want to say just one piece. O you who believe, let not your riches or your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. If any act thus, the loss is their own. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Boy, I tell you, I don't care what part of the Quran that you use, it's always very appropriate. Thank you so much, Rashid.
Alhamdulillah.
So that means that the rest of the panelists may get a few seconds of your time that you chose not to use.
Yes, sir.
But now we go to our very distinguished and esteemed educator extraordinaire, Quran Shakir. Your closing remarks, you got a full 2 minutes and maybe a couple few seconds. What would you like to leave with the radio listeners, Karan?
Yes. First, I want to thank you again for hosting this opportunity for us to give gratitude, because it is said that those who give gratitude, the angels descend and they listen and they take that gratitude back to Allah and says, oh, Allah, I heard your servant, so grateful. And so, alhamdulillah, thank you so much. And I just want to say an hour goes fast when you're giving gratitude. And so, alhamdulillah, that's wonderful, right?
That's right. I want
to remind our listening audience and all of us that it is a hadith that says that he has not thanked Allah who has not thanked people. And if all of us could be grateful for the people in our lives and to express the gratitude, you know, sometimes we tend to look at what's wrong. And if we can spend more time looking at what's good, what's right, then I think we can elevate and advance in a special way. So I just want to say to all of us to be grateful, and not just one day of the year, but every day.
Yes.
Be grateful.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much, and very well said, and powerful words of wisdom to leave our radio listening audience. And so now we come to you, another one of our very premier educators in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Dr. Patricia Slow Dean. What would you like to leave with the radio listening audience in your concluding remarks? You got 2 minutes and maybe a few seconds, thanks to Rashid.
Thank you, Brother Rashid.
No problem.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Mark, for granting us this opportunity thank you. Again, I'd like to thank you for granting us this opportunity to share our thoughts on gratitude. And I would like to say that there is so much to be grateful for. And one of the things that I'd like to leave our audience with is that our community, just in case you hadn't noticed, but our community is growing. And we have so many wonderful people in our community. And they are studying the Quran. They're striving to understand the words of Allah. It is so wonderful to see that. We have efforts made to educate our children. And I just want all of us to pay attention to the many things that's happening in our community that we should be grateful for. And if you're not a part of it, then become a part of it. Become a part of this energy that's going on in our community right now. And show Allah how grateful we all are that He has blessed us with the knowledge, blessed us with the logic, and blessed us with His word. And so we thank Him for that, and we want to show our gratitude even more. And thank you, Mark, for giving us this opportunity.
Alhamdulillah, and thank you, Dr. Patricia Saladin. Excellent closing remarks. We appreciate you also greatly in your contributions, too. And so last but not least, a very distinguished and esteemed Dr. Jamal Rashid. What would you like to leave the radio listening audience with, Dr. Jamal? You got 2 minutes in terms of expressing your closing remarks. Dr. Rashid?
Yes, sir. I'd like to thank you for hosting. It is a great topic tonight, but we also should be thankful to Allah first and foremost for helping us learn our human identity. And what I mean by that is our personal missions or objectives or purpose in life. And once we gradually evolve to learn what that is and then be able to share it, and we can share it now in unthinkable ways that we never knew we would be able to have the opportunity, and that's through the technologies of today. You know, for us to share throughout this country right now, people in various locations, you know, is far, far advanced than what we could even imagine going to some one physical building. So, you know, we are at the time of taking advantage, and we have the top words, meaning words make people, and understanding that in its totality, or holistically, we are all educators, and that's beyond academics. Education is more and far beyond academics, so we're not speaking academically when we speak of educators. And so we have to share whatever Allah has bestowed upon us, His mercy and His grace, and hopefully delivering the word of Allah will do the conversion. So thank you, Brother Mark, again, and give the greetings to all the hosts. Co-host that has participated in this wonderful, profound town hall meeting, and all the listeners that are involved and who will listen later on online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Yes. And so I do want to thank all of you for answering the invitation to be a part of the MGM Roundtable. And I want to thank our radio listening audience, of course, and particularly Brother Muhammad and Dr. Medina Waikil for being participants. And I want to just say that I am so very thankful, first and foremost, in terms of becoming Muslim, as my quest was to find God. Who is God? Which led me to even select the name Shahid. As you know, it means witness bearer to the one God. I'm so thankful to all the trials and tribulations I've gone through, because it's caused me to grow. The challenges have caused me to grow in this way of life. So after taking the Shahada Tain, which is the declaration of liberation for us, now in this age and stage of my life, in terms of trying to demonstrate that Shahada in my life, Shahada Tain, I should say, in terms of making my life bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that there are no partners or associates, and that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his servant and messenger.
Amen.
I'm also very thankful to the fact that we had such a very profound leader that actually is the Mujaddid, and he was a product of this community known as the Lost Foundation of Islam, his father being the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and putting him in an environment whereas that he could study the Quran in the language in which it was revealed, and to give it to us in a way that we could understand it, where we didn't have to put forth the effort that he had to put forth. And I'm thankful to Allah for blessing me to have the opportunities to be in his presence many times in the last 5 or 6 years of his life, because I learned much from being around Imam W.D. Muhammad. And one of those things that always stayed with me, how generous he was. His generosity was so outstanding. And also the words of wisdom, as he taught us on Arafat, in terms of what Arafat actually means. He said, yes, it means to get to know each other, but it means much more than just getting to know. He said to us, is to recognize the good that Allah has deposited into others outside of yourself. And that stayed with me. And as Allah blessed me to be able to spend out of what it is that he's blessed me with in terms of media for years and all, and even in my community here in St. Louis, I strive to the best of my ability to spend out of what it is that Allah has given to me in terms of gifts and talents. I try to unwrap them, because that is the way that we really serve Allah. And then having the opportunity to be on outstanding platforms as AM360, our sister station, and now IWDM, I'm always looking to provide opportunities for others to spend out of what it is that Allah has blessed them. I learned this from Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I say to our radio listening audience that we have a duty and a responsibility to always try to make contributions and look for opportunities to be able to help family members, community members, society at large, to spend out of that which Allah has blessed you with. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a very sahih hadith, very authentic, very firm, that there's no time in a believer's life that they cannot give sadaqah. It's no more than just a smile. Well, Mark Shahid, I want to do more than just a smile, and I do smile often. You can't see it when you're on radio, even Blog Talk Radio. But oftentimes when I hear believers express themselves and spend out of what it is Allah has given to them, I have a big smile on my face. And inshallah, God willing, that I have many more years to be able to make contributions and also to provide opportunities for others to make contributions. So I'm so thankful and so grateful for be a part of the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, as being the model leader, not only for us as Muslims, but the model leader for all of the world of humanity for all times. And I'm thankful Amen. And grateful Allah that he has chosen me to be Muslim. So with that being said, I want to thank our panelists, very distinguished esteemed panelists, as I know all of them are doing honorable work in this community, have been, are doing, and may Allah bless you richly and continuously making those contributions. And wherever you can find opportunity to provide opportunities for others, let's help them along. As Dr. Medina talked about the youth and all, I have a fourth Sunday here in St. Louis where I provide that opportunity to teach the youth and the young adults, because I want to see them become leaders for themselves, their family, and our community. And inshallah, God willing, there will be some world leaders that would emerge from that. And so I want to say in closing that stay tuned to IWDM Radio here. As tomorrow, which is Thursday, but we know in lieu of Thanksgiving, which is a national holiday, I do not broadcast on national holidays. Even Eid days, the two Eids that we have fall on the day that I'm supposed to be on the air. I don't broadcast because I think that's an excellent time for us to spend with our family and friends and community members and enjoy them. So Quran Shakir, who is the co-host and co-facilitator, along with myself for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we will not be on the air tomorrow. However, good news. And the good news is I talked to my good friend and brother, one of our very scholarly, very learned imams, Imam Fahim Shuaib, who I consider to be a forerunner in promoting healthy male-female relations, longtime resident imam of Masjid Warthin there in Oakland, California. I was a guest on his show today, and he confirmed the invitation that I sent to him on December the 2nd, when Quran and myself return to the airwaves, inshallah, here on IWDM Radio on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Imam Fahim Shuaib said he would be honored to be a special guest facilitator, and he will be making commentary on the acronym RIPPLE. I should just give the whole title. It's a long one, but I'll give it to you. This was authored by Akila Nafisa Rashid, and that publication is titled Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet in Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. Is unique in that she uses the word ripple to identify six principles to help in terms of Muslim marriage makeover in modeling Muhammad the Prophet. And that first P is partnership. So Imam Fahim Shuaib will make commentary on the overview that very distinguished Quran Shakir will put together. So she's getting her assignment right now. We'll put together and then he also will make commentary on the importance and significance of partnership. So you don't want to miss that. And that's each and every Thursday, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, which will be December the 2nd, we'll have Imam Fahim Shuaib with us, inshallah. And that production will start here on IWDM Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And out there on the West Coast, Pacific Coast time, it'll be 4 p.m. there on the West Coast. We also ask that you do tune in each and every Friday slot to Jumu'ah Day. with Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, longtime resident Imam Al-Nur Islamic Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. And Salatu Juma time starts here on IWDM Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we also ask that you tune in to the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People, once again hosted by the very distinguished, esteemed resident Imam Al-Nur Islamic Center, Words Make People, as Imam Sayer always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community, along with his co-host, Imam Ayman, there in California. And that begins every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we have a new production, and it's off to a great start. And it is hosted by Rashid Salam and Imam Dr. Abdul Shaheed in terms of the science of your health and you. Oh, you need to bring a pen and pad. This is a learning lab. A lot of great information as you'll learn something about cytometry, and you'll learn more about your health, the cells, the various components of your life in terms of how to keep yourself healthy. This is an outstanding production. If you haven't heard it or listened to it, you want to make sure that you do. And that is every Tuesday evening here on IWDM Radio, and it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, The Science of Your Health and You, hosted by Rashid Salam and Imam Dr. Abdul Shaheed. And so also Wednesday, we know that it is the Sister Learning Lab each and every Wednesday, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that this coming, next coming Wednesday, it will be Najwa Abdul-Tawab that will be with me for the last time as the first Wednesday as we close out this year. She will be resigning, but she'll be back for our fifth anniversary, inshallah. And also Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, the co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that happens each and every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. This is a great opportunity to invite people in your family and friends, neighbors, community members, that if you're parents or grandparents or maybe your mentors, this is the show that you want to listen into so that you can learn what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And, of course, ending up where we started at and where we're at right now, the MGM Roundtable, as each and every Wednesday evening, I'd like to present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside of the community, but topics are pertinent to us as a community here on the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and that happens 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Also want to remind you to please to tune in to Study Al-Islam, my dear sister Fitra Muhammad, there in the nation's mosque. Allah has blessed us for quite a few years to have some of the most outstanding intellects. As we heard Karan Shakir, she has been on there several times, and many, many others in terms of life topics there. That's each and every Sunday morning. Those of you who are in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it happens for you at 10 a.m. Those in the Central Standard Time Zone, where Rashid and I live, it is 9 a.m. And those who are out on the left coast, the west coast, that is Pacific Coast Time, it is 7 a.m. each and every Sunday. And you can get the new number by dialing 712-770-4160. There's a new number. It'll give it to you. But the access code is still the same. It's 684012#, 684012#. Please tune in for that. And if you should happen to miss it, Well, it's a new number now. It used to be you could change the 0 to 9, but you get the new number, and generally you'll be able to assess the latest presentation for 1 week. Also, we want to remind you that we should support the Muslim Journal. Yes, the Muslim Journal, this has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. Our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, and her staff have worked long and hard and made many, many sacrifices to keep the Muslim Journal alive and continuously contributing to us in terms of information and education that has been a benefit for many years. And so the major fundraiser that they have is a time to be grateful. It is hosted by the Atlanta Masjid there in the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And it's going to be a very exciting time to be grateful. They have really planned a very dynamic production. The Muhammad schools will be participating. Graceline community will be participating. Outstanding intellects in terms of workshops, culture night, outstanding cultural expressions from many of the talented people in our community. There's going to be a historic, landmarks that they will be taking you through to Atlanta, the various massages and Islamic centers and all, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all. You don't want to miss that. That begins December the 10th through the 12th. We do ask that you go online, get registered, and we're looking for sponsorships for those that may not be able to go on, and they are accepting any and all donations. It can't be too small, and it can't be too large. Please support the Time to Be Grateful that will be held 2021 by the Atlanta Masjid. This is our newspaper. This is our opportunity to step up and to support what has been supporting us for many, many years. So with that being said, I want to close out by saying to all of you to have a happy Thanksgiving and spend the time with your family and friends and all. And maybe you can have a conversation at the table. What is it that you're most thankful for since you have become God conscious? So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my good brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah.